He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the December 5th edition of the Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Today it's the Inverse Funds ruling the airwaves. We'll see how the day ends. But we definitely are stumbling out of the start to start a new week. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 23 years as a professional money manager and radio show host on the stock market for the last 23 years and newsletter writer for the last 23 years. So hopefully I can give a little bit of insight that might help you out here this December 15th. We've got the Dow right now is down 287. That is 0.8%. That puts the Dow at 34,146. We're trying to find a culprit. I think we can find one. The S&P is down 40 right now. That's 1%. That's no way to start a new week. What happened to that Santa Claus rally? We had Jerome Powell donning his Santa suit middle of last week. That seems to have worn off. We'll talk to Barry Kite, our in-house chartered financial analyst here in a bit. NASDAQ's down 112. That's a 1% downward move to 11,349. We've got crude oil is green. It's up $1.28 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, CEO, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual money management fee-based only firm. We are definitely, what's the word I'm looking for, Barry, when we have to do what? There's so many things crossing the line right now.
Yeah, it's
fiduciary. It's really, we are fiduciaries. Sometimes that's hard to get out of my mouth, you know.
Yeah, I remember
early
10 years
on a
ago,
Monday.
Yeah, 10 years ago, you didn't know what fiduciary was unless you were a fiduciary.
Yes. So there was a special, I knew some people, that was their job. They were fiduciaries, right? And now, obviously, we're fiduciaries. That's part of our job.
Yeah, it's okay, a registered investment advisory firm.
That's right. We're off to a rough start here in the market so far. We don't really have – I know the ISM manufacturing news came out right as we were starting the show. I'm guessing it must have came
unexpectedly
out
turned. Yeah, actually, unexpectedly turned higher in November. So
well,
we're,
that's bad.
Know, we're kind, and we're kind of in that – you know, we've really been in that spot where – you know, they're kind of getting, you know, good news is bad news for the market and vice versa, because as, you know, good news in the economy means, you know, Fed certainly has more work to do from an interest rate front. Of course, you know, bad economic news, the opposite, right? They may not need to move it, go as far. So, that's kind of the dynamic that we've really seen here. And of course, ISM, was up. I think the PMI actually went down further than thought.
Kind of
got a little bit of a mixed bag. So
okay, well, the Fed meets next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they will more than likely. The market has baked into the cake a 50 basis point hike. We have had the 10-year come back all the way to 3.6. We're down about 60 basis points right now. From the peak a few months ago, and we've also seen the yield curve continue to stay very, very wide. We have a 70 to 75 point basis, a 70 basis point yield curve inversion right now, which is record numbers. Okay, let's just run through last week real quickly. A week ago today, the market was down like 500 points because of China. And the riots that were taking place over there, you know, over the lockdowns and the draconian situation with the COVID in China. Well, now we're seeing that's kind of gone to the back burner. I'm not hearing much about that anymore. Either they're suppressing it or they've softened a bit on their stance.
Yeah, and they reduced some testing requirements. I mean, you've got to take a PCR test or whatever to go into to go to an outdoor park. So yeah. They removed some of those testing requirements. I mean, you still got to be tested before you go to the dentist. There's a bunch of different heard someone kind of explaining kind of how life is in those, even in the fact as they kind of push back things. But
The crazy thing is, China is just so unpredictable. Okay, listen to this. The China Internet Index last week, two times, this is CWEB, SWEB, was up 52% last week. That would be like our NASDAQ pretty much. Well, the FANG stocks being up 26%, and then you have leverage on that up 52%. China is 100% unpredictable right now. The China bull shares, that's three times the China index, was up 40% last week. And then another very unpredictable part of the market right now seems to be natural gas. You wanted to be short natural gas last week. It all comes down to that Freeport plant in Houston, which has been closed.
Right. Yep.
So they can't process the natural gas. So everything's kind of on hold, and that drives natural gas prices down for now. But I would think when that thing opens up again, natural gas would be a pretty good trade. So anyways,
it makes liquefied natural gas. That price remains elevated. It's kind of interesting where you get this disconnect. But since they're not turning as much natural gas right into liquefied natural gas, that's where you kind of have that supply
bottleneck there, right? Well, and the Fed's in a quiet period right now. They no more speeches. I'm sure they get paid a pretty penny to give a speech in all these different places around the country. And every time they speak, the market moves. But no more so when Jerome Powell speaks. He's the big guy, and when he speaks, the market really moves. So they're in a quiet period right now. And, they're going to more than likely ratchet down to only a 50 basis point hike next week. And we do get one more CPI report. I want to say it's next Wednesday, the day of their announcement.
Yeah, so we'll get it. I think the CPI, I thought it was coming in on Tuesday. But, yeah, one of those, essentially, I think the first day of their meeting, the CPI comes in. And then, with the announcement being the next day. So, yeah, it's quite a busy week early part of next week. CPI is on Tuesday. Yep.
It's the holiday season. Can't we slow down a little? Give us guys in the business a little time to do a little shot. No, we got to sit on pins and needles awaiting the CPI report next week and the Fed meeting. It never stops. There's never a break really in this industry. But you know what? I thrive on it myself. I really like it. OPEC Plus. Those are our friends in the Middle East, plus Russia. Russia's the plus, okay? They keep oil output unchanged in their latest meeting. And, of course, at their last meeting, it was a slap in the face to the Biden administration when they cut, not by 1 million barrels per day, but by 2 million barrels per day. And that does have oil prices up here a little bit here today. But you know what? Today's also the big day, the embargo day. This is the day that Europe pledged to divorce themselves 100% from Russian oil. Well, I mean, that doesn't sound like that's their intention, because now they're saying, well, we'll buy it as long as it's not over $60 per barrel. That's their new plan. Finally, Poland, which was holding out, agreed to the EU's $60 price cap on Russian oil. So that they look at as a bridge until they can completely divorce themselves from Russian oil. But guess what? It may be that Russia just, divorce them, because Russia is not going to accept the G7 oil price cap, even if it has to cut output. Okay, so Russia still has buyers of their oil. Probably China is their biggest customer these days. But they're not going to sell oil below market prices to the European Union or to the G7 companies.
Yeah, and the EU can't insure them unless the price of that oil is $60, you know, is under that price cap.
So. Exactly. So you're going to have...
A lot of it has to do with shipping. There's a lot. I was reading some of the different in you know, context of what that $60 price cap really means, and it's pretty almost locks up the whole supply.
Yeah, but they say Russia's got plenty of ways around it on the black market. So we'll see. Russia's the second largest oil producer in the world. To me, it keeps oil prices elevated.
Certainly.
For now. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of individual companies in the news today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. It's the Inverse Funds leading the way. The Dow's down 0.9%. The Inverse Funds on the Dow are dog. DXD is 2 times short the Dow. S&P is down 1.1%. The Inverse Fund there is SH. 2 times in versus SDS. And the NASDAQ is down 1.2%. PSQ is the inverse on the NASDAQ, and the QID is 2 times inverse the NASDAQ. Now, if you had a chance to look at my newsletter this past weekend, the real key to it was the current macro outlook for the market, which simply boils down to what's the market worth right now? What are those S&P 500 earnings worth right now? In today's interest rate environment, and with all of the numbers that we've seen during this third quarter earnings season, which just ended, where are we at right now with earnings estimates for next year and the year after that? We're going to end this year with earnings of $221 per share, somewhere in that neighborhood. We'll know about the first week of April next year just exactly where we come in, because that's when all of the fourth quarter will be accounted for. But as of now, we're looking for about $221 in earnings for the S&P 500. That will be record earnings, okay? Now the question is, what are the estimates out there, the expectations? Because the market looks forward 1 to 2 years. While most investors are looking at today and tomorrow and yesterday, the market's looking ahead 1 to 2 years. And I updated those numbers in my newsletter, given the best information that we have out there right now. And I'm using a multiple that is appropriate, in my opinion, with today's interest rates. Okay, so that is a big, big driver of the market. It also establishes a risk-to-reward ratio. What is the risk? I mean, is there a lot of upside potential based on just raw numbers right now in the market? Or are we full, pretty full here? Or are we even overvalued at the current time in the market? And what's the upside potential for next year and the year after that? How sure are those earnings estimates out there on the street? What are the risks to those earnings? All of that was in the newsletter that I sent out on Saturday. I put a lot of work into that thing every single week. I've been doing that for the last 23 years. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Okay, Russia will not accept the G7 oil price cap. That has been a big part of European inflation. Okay, they still don't have a solution yet, Barry, to their. They don't have. They're not even close to a solution.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest. Remember, I mean, over the summer, kind of the biggest thing was them just, you know, filling up, right, their gas reserves, you know, kind of loading the tank as much as they could. So,
yeah, and I was just reading here that many analysts say that Russia has enough of a shadow fleet to skirt the sanctions, meaning more shipments will be rerouted, which is already happening across global crude markets. That could keep oil prices at current levels if that keeps up. But when you look at the future, a big drop, taking a big chunk of that Russian oil off the market could lead to a surge in crude and gasoline prices worldwide. Now, I was out in the backcountry a little bit over the weekend here in South Carolina. I saw gas under $3, $2.97, $2.98.
Yeah, I did too. That was probably one of the first times I can really think about it.
Yes, it hasn't been that low in a long time. Now, natural gas was down 14% this past week as Freeport LNG restart has been pushed to year end. Okay, so that plant's going to be down. They had fires and pipeline problems and issues. So that place is down, their liquefied natural gas plant in Texas.
And EPA issues.
Regulations. I mean, it's just everybody breathing down their neck.
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, I just see a trend. I as I look at the countries coming in every day with their reports, you know, the U.S. is not the only one that puts out economic reports on a regular basis. They come in from France. They come in from the U.K. They come in from Germany, which is the biggest contributor to the economy in Europe. It's just, it's been sliding now for 6 months. I have not seen anything really encouraging coming out of Europe. Their retail sales were down by 1.8% in October. That's the worst fall in 10 months. And I'm just saying there's a pattern there, okay? I've been, you know, talking every week about, do you notice the pattern here? Everything is down for the fifth straight month, for the sixth straight month, for the seventh straight month. So I don't know what Europe's going to do to dig out of the hole that they're in with their energy crisis. Now, we still have some earnings coming. Costco, which got clobbered last Friday on same-store sales, Costco's going to report this week. Broadcom, which is one of the big semiconductor chip companies. Chewy, we'll see how dog biscuit sales are going right now.
What was interesting that most of the Costco's issues were the, you know, a lot of their sales had, you know, ended up being on a mixed side, were a lot of on the food end, right? And of course margins are smaller on the food side than you know all of the other goods in the store, and so that was kind of interesting just in terms of people's shopping habits, right? It's like, you know, you've got a certain budget and a lot of those things were getting spent on, you know, the stuff you actually need, right? Food.
Laundry soap.
Right.
Like that.
Toilet
okay.
paper.
Well, we've got AutoZone will report, and Lululemon will also report. And I reported that last time we did a little Christmas shopping the day after Thanksgiving, the Lululemon store was just buzzing.
Yeah, you did an in-person. You did an in-person service.
Yes, I did an in-person walk by the door, say, I'm not going anywhere near that place. It's a line out the door. It's ridiculous. Okay, the China stocks, it's just, you know, flip a coin. Roll the dice. You can't tell me that they're not manipulating the markets and somehow profiting from all of this, because it's all they got to do is say, hey, we're going to relax. We're moving away from our zero COVID. Okay, so what is it now? 90% intolerant? 80%? I don't know. But these stocks have had just huge days, and it really upset the apple cart. You know, if you had some inverse ETFs, which I did on the emerging markets, I lost them last week because of what China is doing to really move the markets on a day-to-day basis one way or another. Okay, well, when we come back, we'll talk about gold, we'll talk about inflation, we'll talk about Morgan Stanley's latest macro call. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now. Best Inverse Funds Now show. The market's improved somewhat. It was down 1%. Now it's down 0.7%. The strong jobs report, that's where we left off on Friday.
Pretty good report. I mean, overall, pretty healthy report.
That's a problem, and that's where that good news is bad news, because that's going to continue to keep the inflation monster humming there. You know, then the labor market is still very tight. I was reading my San Diego Union newspaper, just the headlines. I try to keep up on my old home. They're offering $50,000 signing bonuses to ambulance people, EMS, you know, emergency medical, because they can't get any right now. And, you know, we talked about $22 an hour to cook over here at TGI Friday. I mean, I couldn't do any worse than they do. $22 an hour. Well, if the market crashes, I got somewhere to go. I can sling a skillet with the best of them, you know. But anyways, that job report, that's going to hold down the markets here. You know, they came to a screeching halt. It looked like on Wednesday when it was up 700 points, it looks like Jerome Powell had kicked off this huge Santa Claus rally and was handing out gifts and presents. But, you know, I mean, you still got to look at the valuation of the market. You have to look at the technicals of the market. And then, you know, just 2 days after his big announcement, you get this pretty hot jobs report, and that kind of just killed the momentum in the market. The other one that I'm going to keep my eye on here in 2023 is gold. Gold had, the dollar had a terrible week last week, because of Jerome Powell's Wednesday announcement. I mean, the dollar, the currency markets, they kind of look at who's got the best handle on inflation right now. And they looked at us and said, wow, they're doing the biggest move, 75 basis points. And so that kept the dollar really strong. And then when he announced on Wednesday that we were going to start slowing down, the dollar really tanked and gold took off. But, you know, now I see gold, you know, falling back. Gold just can't get a sustainable rally, it seems. It's going to take, you know, more draconian effort by the Fed to get inflation under control. So, you know, 1800, we've been saying, how long have we been saying that that's?
Yeah, I mean, if you had to, any time that somebody just asks me, you know, even if I don't know how much gold is, right? I mean, you know, my guess in my head is going to always be somewhere.
Sell it at 1800, right? Sell it, and then buy it at 1700. That's been pretty much the range. It's been range bound. The Fed's Barkin says labor supply to stay constrained. I totally agree. That pressures inflation. I don't know where our labor supply went. Does anybody know where our labor supply went? How come I go to a restaurant on Black Friday and it's a 2 hour wait? The place is empty because they have no servers, right? I don't know what's going on there. Okay,
yeah,
Morgan.
Some early retirements, you know, early retirements.
Waiters and waitresses?
Well,
they're only
that,
23.
No. Right.
I
mean, not that
maybe
group.
You do. I don't know. What the
group.
Heck? Right. Don't you have to have a paycheck coming in every week? My dad always had to have a paycheck coming in every week. I don't know.
Well, from the labor participation rate, I mean, it's pretty low.
It's low. Well, the rest of the people living off government, I don't know. I would like to see an answer to that, how they get by. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says it's time to fade the rally. Well, I'm running a commercial here, a two-minute market update in our neck of the woods, talking about this recent rally in the market, and there has been a rally in the market a pretty potent rally in the market. And it's been based mostly on the Fed. You know, the Fed kind of backing off a little bit and thinking that maybe we've seen peak inflation. And Morgan Stanley, who's been pretty bearish for a long time, they say the bear market rally. Okay, so that's another big debate. This current rally in the market that we've seen, which has been one of the better ones that we've seen this year in 2020. But remember, we're still down 15-16% on the year with the S&P. NASDAQ's still down about 25%, but you have seen a couple of some good rallies there. Now, Morgan Stanley is calling it a bear market rally, and they say that it's hitting resistance levels that suggests it's time to take profits, according to Morgan Stanley. Well, you know, that's another thing I do. Right before I do the macro outlook in the newsletter, which is the valuation side of the equation, I do technical analysis of all the major indexes, from the S&P to the NASDAQ to the Dow to the small caps to the emerging markets to Europe. To Bitcoin, to interest rates, the bond market. You know, I do about 12 or 15 of them. And that's also pretty important, too, is to always know where you're at kind of from a technical point of view. I also like to step back and look at it since 2009 when the market bottomed and has been going up pretty much ever since. But Wilson, at least, Mike Wilson said, it's time to fade this current rally. They think 4,150 is the absolute upside this rally can achieve. We would not rule that out over the next week or so. And they say if we break last week's lows, we could see those previous lows, which is, you know, quite a ways down, retested. So, you know, that's just one other opinion out there. I like to look at these macro outlooks. The chip sector. I read a good article over the weekend. ASM Lithography, they make...
I saw the same article I was thinking about you. And
yes. They make a $200,000 machine. That is, they have no competition. And that machine helps to make the most high-tech, artificial intelligence, gaming, you name it, Bitcoin mining chips in the world, like NVIDIA's chips. And there's a big spat going on between us and the Netherlands. Never mind they beat us in soccer on Saturday. I watched that game. Knocked us out of the World Cup once again. But we also have a spat. It's interesting. Netherlands is a pretty small country, you know, on just relatively. There's only 17 million people that live there. But for somehow, I mean, they have that ASM Lithography company, which is the world leader in semiconductor, in making some, not making semiconductors, but the equipment that makes them.
The equipment that makes them, yep.
And if China were to get a hold of their equipment, then China can start making their own high-tech semiconductors. And so we have a spat with them right now. Trump started it. He said, we don't want you giving China those machines now. And Biden has even stepped up the pressure on the Netherlands to not give China the machine. But at the end of the day, the Netherlands is going to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, great engineers there, by the way.
Yes, great engineers. They're known for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also saw that Taiwan Semiconductor, which is building that Arizona plant, they've already got a couple of big customers, Apple and NVIDIA.
Yeah, not a bad start, huh?
No, those are a couple good. You know, that'd be, right. Yeah, starting a little firm and your first two clients are Warren Buffett and, you
yeah,
know,
right.
Bill Gates or something like that. So anyways, that's Arizona where we're trying to get away. I believe it's in Gilbert, Arizona, trying to get away from this dependence on, you know,
Taiwan,
China
and
Taiwan. So they're the biggest foundry in the world, okay? So they're a buyer of ASM's lithography's equipment. They make the chips. You send them the designs and whatnot, and they produce the chips.
You know, our chip makers got out of that business quite some time ago. Intel and others.
They have a huge market share.
Yes,
foundry
and,
business.
And Taiwan TSM got those two candidates. Okay, now looking ahead to 2023. Unfortunately, it looks like the defense stocks are going to continue to do well. As you know, there's just so many powder kegs around the world. Remember when that missile landed in Poland and blew a couple people up? And
we just watched the we were sitting there in Sarasota, like what happened?
Right. Why did the market just turn just like that while I'm eating my soup? And, you know, I can't even enjoy a bowl of soup. A missile lands in Poland. At least it didn't land in my soup. Well, anyways, Northrop Grumman, that is something, that stealth bomber for deterring China. That's a pretty mean-looking thing. It looks like a manta ray. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Well, on the positive side of the market, there's not a whole lot. There's very few stocks that are working here today. And once again, it's the Chinese stocks, which, you know, most of us, we've been burnt before in the Chinese stocks. They're very unpredictable over there with what they're going to do, their policies. 1 week they'll crack down on their internet stocks. CEOs disappear. Next week, you know, they're easing regulations. It's just unpredictable.
I saw the report today where Tesla's going to reduce the production at their plant there by 20%.
Yeah. Well, and the China's economy is not doing well at all. You know, look what the COVID lockdowns did to our economy. You know, we went negative big time for several quarters there. And a lot of people that own small businesses and whatnot that rely on sales and having their store open or their restaurant open or their shop open, they were in big trouble. And China, this has been going on for months, years now in China, these draconian lockdowns. So their economy is in pretty bad shape. But, you know, that's all they got to do is utter the words, we're going to ease up a little bit on our zero tolerance for COVID. And those stocks go flying. They're the leaders again today. Baidu up 4.6%. The big hotel stock, HTHT, is up 5.4%.
I still see Luckin Coffee.
Yeah, they were cooking the books. They were cooking coffee and the books in the same pot.
Yeah, you know when your symbol has six letters in it? You know that you did something. Something happened. You didn't.
That's never a good sign. That means you're on the pink sheets, delisted.
way pink. LKN. CYU is the symbol for those keeping score at home.
Yeah, no thanks. PNGAY is only five symbols, but that's their big insurance company. I mean, that's kind of equivalent to their AIG.
Yeah.
It's up 7.8%. Now, one that I don't know all that well, but it does have an interesting... I remember, I think it was Ted Turner, when they asked what he was buying several years ago, he said, one word, water. He believed there was going to be tremendous constraints going forward on water. He was kind of a population control kind of guy, thinking there's not enough water in the world to support everybody. What, two-thirds of the world is water? I know, it's salt water, but a lot of it. SJW is breaking out to a new high today. I don't know what the news is. It's one of the few stocks. It's headquartered in San Jose. It's up 6.1%. I'm thinking, has it been bought out? It's on 10 times normal volume.
It may, yeah, it's either that, it could be that, I think they might have some kind of added them to the S&P small cap. I think there was some kind of index reconfiguration, which they get included in now. I think that's what it.
I like their business model. They're engaged in the production, purchase, storage, purification, distribution, and retail sale of water.
Pretty important.
Yes. It sounds like it's a utility, though, just a utility that provides water in that area of the world where water is extremely scarce. They're headquartered in San Jose. There's a defense stock on the move. I used to have friends that worked at SAIC. They had a big San Diego connection. That stock is breaking out. I would say the defense stocks, which is a little worrisome, but we believe that 2023 will continue to be a lot of volatility with world events, geopolitical, which you can't really plan on. But you also, at the same time, you can't sit back and be passive with an asset allocation or somebody who's asleep at the wheel managing your portfolio. Science Applications, SAIC. Company I know well. It's up 6.2% today, hitting a new all-time high. Defense stock. It's a defense stock. Okay, then on the inverse side, there's where the action is today. If you're inverse, the small caps, that's the Russell 2000, which has a lot of junk in it. There's a lot of junk stocks in the Russell 2000. TZA is up 5.1%. That's three times inverse. Okay, this is FYI, just for your information only. I like to educate and let people know that there are all of these different things out there that can be deployed from time to time. LABP is three times inverse the biotech stocks. It's actually LABP, LAPB, and it's having a good day. It's up 5.7% today. The other weak spot in the market today is the bond market, with interest rates nudging up a little bit. You know, these things really sold off a lot over the last couple weeks. I would think there might be some opportunities on the inverse side of things where you had some massive sell-offs. The bond, we lost our, we made 66%
like
on our
PBT, yeah.
Yes, we made 66 or 68% on that thing since we bought it this year. We finally lost it last week because the bond market had a major rally last week. I would sell rallies in the bond market myself. And I would look, you know, we continue to look for bonds in the 5.5, 6.5 area. And we think that's one of the opportunities that we have. You'd be darn happy to get 6.5% on the S&P for the next 3 years. There's opportunities like that and some really good individual bonds right now with interest rates where they are. Okay, well, you know what? We're off to a sloppy start to begin a new week. No Santa Claus rally today. Bah humbug. We're getting a lump of coal. We'll have the Feds in quiet mode. They will announce their next decision next week, next Wednesday. And, of course, I think Tuesday we get the last CPI report of the year. I updated everything in the newsletter. It's all fresh. We took 1 week off there for Thanksgiving, and then a lot of work to be done. I got all caught up on the newsletter with all the latest numbers, the estimates, charts, everything. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. If you want to get positioned for some of the opportunities that come along, wherever they may come from, get in touch with us. Make an appointment. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.